My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a bold and downright risky thing to make a request of Jesus. Those who have come before this disciple and asked Jesus a question have been publicly humiliated and their egos just decimated. We've been reading these the last few weeks. The lawyer who asked, "Who's my neighbor?" trying to trick Jesus, finds that he's the neighbor of those he despises. Others asking about eternal life, told to sell all that they have, shamed, regretful of all that they owned. The text last week, Martha simply saying, "Hey, tell my sister to help me make food for you." Martha, Martha, you're upset and troubled by so many things. She's chosen the better part. It won't be taken from her. Sitting at Jesus' feet, her things in order. So this disciple, who's seen this pattern of people put in their place, downright schooled, thinks he's got it made. He's going to look awesome after this. Jesus has just finished praying, and he says, "Oh, teach us to do what you yourself are doing. Teach us to pray." Jesus, you know, throws some stuff out there, and by the end of it, this guy's standing there, and Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil..." He simply asked to be taught how to pray, and Jesus tells him he's evil, along with the rest of the lot, standing right there. Asking to learn how to pray, and you're told you're evil? I get ahead of myself. The content of the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, isn't so far off from the patterns of the early church we find in Acts. At first, the apostles are concerning themselves with the daily distribution of bread and food to all of the church gathered in Jerusalem. It becomes burdensome for them. They get distracted by it. Grumbles arise, so they appoint some others to help them, the deacons. And they help with the daily distribution of the bread to everybody. Everyone's getting their daily bread. Or even before that, just chapters before this exchange, Jesus sends 70 out to go proclaim the coming of the kingdom. And he tells them, "You don't need to bring anything. Just people will take care of you. Just trust it." It's the way he himself lived, going around living off the charity of others. Like Martha, who we sort of put in her place. "Give us enough just to make it through the day." Not a huge request. Early church is continually being dragged before authorities, too. The book of Acts just reads as a series of trials of Peter and Paul and the rest of the lot, getting arrested, people upset, asking for that annoyance to be gone. Jesus is teaching them to pray for the concerns in front of them. And at the heart of Luke's proclamation of what Jesus' ministry is all about is that our sins are forgiven. All of these other things serve as illustrations, as confidence builders, that we're forgiven. And this line, "For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." It almost sounds conditional. If you forgive people, then God will forgive you. But that model of the early church, that's what they had done. They had given all that they had into the common good of the church and shared everything in common. It lasted for some amount of time, probably not long, but they did that for a bit. They had experienced this place where they had forgiven people. We ourselves have forgiven somebody of something, at least partially in a minor way. We know what that's like a bit. If we had never forgiven or experienced forgiveness, how could we possibly conceive that God forgives us? But when we get down to the end of it, right after they're all told that they're evil, Jesus doesn't say, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give you all the bread in the world, or give you riches beyond your belief, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock? You who are evil, the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit." God Himself dwelling in us, through us, working through us, to proclaim that forgiveness to all the world. So how do we know if we have the Spirit then? Have we asked hard enough? Have we knocked loud enough? Before you really had a penchant for stroking your ego, before you really got good at being evil, you were marked with the cross of Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit in your baptism. Given that, even before you knew you wanted it, marked with forgiveness, before you really had a chance to live. We structure our time on Sunday mornings in a similar way. The confession and forgiveness we begin with each time we gather isn't strictly part of our liturgy. Really, the liturgy starts once we all stand up and start singing as we turn as the cross comes to the front. We preface the service with confession and forgiveness. It's a preamble of sorts, just getting ready. Because in the fullness of the kingdom, we worship, we begin to share fully in the resplendent glory of our Lord, already forgiven. It's a state of forgiveness that we dwell in, and we start to see signs of that in the Spirit active when we manage to forgive each other, to grab on to some of what God has given us, when we share bread with our neighbors. But we do these things in part because we're evil sinners in need of God's forgiveness. Part of what Jesus is saying is pray for what's before you and be wildly extravagant about it. If you need bread, ask for it. If you need forgiveness, ask for it. If you're going to be on trial, ask to be spared it. If you have cancer, ask for it to go away. If you're weeping and mourning for the loss of your loved ones, ask for it to be healed. But we don't pray as we ought, because we don't really know what we need, and we don't go far enough. God will go so much farther, even to give us the Holy Spirit. Even the great heroes of the faith don't go far enough. Our first lesson from Genesis, Abraham, standing with the Lord, he's off to smoke Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, "Oh, if there's 50 righteous, will you forgive it and spare them?" Yeah, of course. Oh, what if there's 45? Yeah. It gets down to 10. And of course, there's not 10 righteous in Sodom. It's not 10 righteous anywhere. Not even here. Evil. But there's one. There's one who is righteous, who actually knows what we need. And for the sake of the one crucified, risen Christ, God sends the Spirit and forgives us all of our evil. Amen.